Trump widens economic war as Iran's sanctions expand beyond Tehran. The United States escalated its financial war against Iran on August 20, 2026, with President Donald Trump threatening what he called the most crushing economic operation ever taken against any country. A declaration that reaches beyond Tehran to target every financial institution, business, and government entity that sustains Iranian commerce. The announcement arrived as a 60-day ceasefire, formally expired without a diplomatic settlement to the war. The U.S. and Israel began at the end of February 2026. Trump posted the threat on Truth Social in capital letters, invoking the phrase economic D-Day and warning that countries enabling Iranian oil smuggling, swap lines, cash transfers, exchange houses, ship registries, or front companies would face tremendous economic consequences. He named no specific nations, but the geographic and commercial implications are unmistakable. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi dismissed Trump's post as a diversion from America's domestic economic difficulties, writing on X that doubling down on failed policies will only bring further defeat and enmity of Iranians. That rebuttal carries some weight in commodity markets. Since the war began, Iran has restricted marine traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, the choke point through which approximately 20% of the world's crude oil and liquefied natural gas normally flows, lifting energy prices globally. The stakes extend well beyond a bilateral dispute. Any country whose financial system touches Iranian commerce now faces a binary choice: cut ties or absorb U.S. secondary sanctions. For institutional capital positioned across Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign funds, Chinese industrials, and emerging market energy infrastructure, the calculus just changed materially. The UAE pivot, a Gulf Cooperation Council realignment that rewrites risk maps a day before Trump's post, the United Arab Emirates announced it would sever all financial and economic ties with Iran, citing a new missile threat. The UAE's defense ministry confirmed it had detected two ballistic missiles launched from Iran targeting maritime traffic. Both landed in the sea. The UAE's pivot is operationally significant. Iranian entities have long used Dubai's financial system, specifically its exchange houses and shell company networks, to route money around existing U.S. sanctions. That corridor has now been officially closed by the host jurisdiction itself, not just blocked by Washington. Iran's armed forces responded by warning neighboring Gulf states that any assistance to the U.S. military would be treated as collusion. That threat lands differently after the UAE's declaration. Gulf capital markets, where sovereign wealth funds manage assets in the trillions of dollars, are now openly aligned against Tehran. For private equity managers with exposure to UAE-listed financial services companies, logistics operators, or trade finance platforms that previously served as conduits for Iran-adjacent transactions, the compliance and reputational liability just shifted dramatically toward zero-exposure positioning. What this signals: the Gulf Cooperation Council's historically ambiguous stance toward Iran, driven by proximity, shared waterways, and commercial pragmatism, is resolving toward the U.S. orbit under military and economic pressure. Institutional investors should treat UAE financial sector re-rating as a near-term catalyst, with AML compliance costs rising and some trade finance revenue streams disappearing, offset by a structural upgrade in the UAE's standing with Western counterparties. China's teapot refineries. The Shandong province wildcard Trump's post named no countries other than Iran, but the subtext is unmistakable. Chinese businesses are the largest buyers of Iranian crude oil, the primary revenue source sustaining Tehran's warfighting capacity. Washington has already sanctioned several privately owned oil processing plants concentrated in Shandong province since the war began. China's Ministry of Commerce responded at the time by declaring those sanctions a violation of international law and instructing Chinese entities neither to recognize nor comply with them. That defiance now faces a new test. Operation Economic Fury, announced jointly by the U.S. Treasury Department and the Pentagon in April, targeted Iranian revenue streams and included a naval blockade on Iranian exports. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent stated last week that the U.S. would impose economic isolation on Iran, like the world has never seen before. Key risk threshold. The Strait of Hormuz carries roughly 20% of global crude oil and LNG flows. Any further Iranian restriction on that corridor compounds energy inflation, already straining U.S. consumers ahead of November midterm elections. For investors in Chinese refining equities and energy infrastructure, the escalation introduces a scenario that was previously theoretical. Secondary sanctions broad enough to cut Shandong teapot refineries off from dollar clearing systems entirely. That would force asset write-downs across any private equity or credit portfolio, with exposure to Chinese independent refining capacity that sources Iranian crude. The broader implication is a bifurcation of global oil infrastructure along compliance lines. Assets with clean Iranian-free supply chains command a premium. Assets with ambiguous provenance face derating risk. The Oman wrinkle. When allies become pressure points, Trump reportedly threatened to bomb Oman, a U.S. ally, if it interfered with U.S.-led negotiations to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Simultaneously, the U.S. and Oman have been holding separate talks with Tehran on the same question. That apparent contradiction, threatening a mediating ally while negotiating through it, reflects the fragmentation of U.S. Gulf strategy under pressure of domestic politics. Oman's geographic position makes it irreplaceable as a back channel. Its neutrality has historically been its commercial asset, underpinning trade flows, port revenue, and foreign direct investment in Muscat's financial sector. If that neutrality collapses under U.S. pressure, the Sultanate's investment-grade sovereign risk profile and the foreign capital parked behind it face a reassessment. For Latin America-based investors, the Hormuz dynamic connects directly to regional energy economics. Latin American net oil importers, particularly those running current account deficits financed partly by commodity export revenues, face a deteriorating trade balance if Hormuz disruptions sustain elevated global energy prices. Brazil's pre-salt producers and Colombia's energy sector are relative beneficiaries on the export side, but the macro drag on consumer-facing sectors in net-importing economies like Chile and most of Central America is real. The U.S.-Canada trade deal, a parallel signal on tariff diplomacy the same week Trump announced economic D-Day on Iran. His administration moved to finalize a trade deal with Canada, with U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer confirming the deal eliminates trade irritants and would strengthen the North American economy. Reports indicate U.S. tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum would fall to 25% from 50%, and tariffs on Canadian vehicles could drop from 25% to 15%, though the agreement had not been formally published as of publication. The juxtaposition is analytically important. Trump is running two simultaneous economic campaigns: maximum pressure via escalating sanctions on adversaries and tariff relief via negotiated frameworks with allies. For institutional capital, this bifurcation defines a new allocation framework. Jurisdictions inside Trump's alliance network are receiving tariff normalization. Jurisdictions outside it face secondary sanctions risk. Canada's steel and aluminum exporters, if the deal closes as reported, regain margin headroom that has been compressed since 2025. For private equity sponsors with portfolio companies in North American industrial supply chains, a U.S.-Canada deal on metals pricing is a direct input cost catalyst worth modeling. Source: BBC News, August 19, 2026. All figures are from media reports. The formal agreement text had not been released as of publication. Terms not publicly disclosed should be treated as indicative. The placemium view the market is pricing Trump's Iran escalation, primarily as an energy supply shock. That framing is too narrow. What the August 20 announcement actually represents is the first explicit secondary sanctions doctrine of the 2026 Iran war cycle, one that places financial institutions, airports, government entities, and exchange houses in the line of fire regardless of nationality. The UAE's same-day severance of Iran ties is not a coincidence. It is a data point confirming that secondary sanctions threats, when credible, produce rapid realignment by even the most commercially pragmatic actors. Plaquemines' thesis: the next 90 days will produce a visible sorting of global financial institutions into compliant and non-compliant categories. Banks and payment processors in jurisdictions with high Iranian transaction exposure, including parts of Southeast Asia, Central Asia, and select African financial centers, face a binary: divest Iran exposure now or absorb correspondent banking restrictions from U.S. dollar clearing institutions later. That forced divestiture cycle creates short-term distress in those corridors and medium-term opportunity for clean chain alternatives. The second-order play is infrastructure. The Strait of Hormuz's strategic value as a single physical choke point for 20% of global oil and LNG has never been higher in market pricing terms. Capital flowing into LNG regasification terminals outside the Gulf, pipeline alternatives through Turkey or Central Asia, and floating storage capacity should be repriced upward. Investors in Qatar's LNG infrastructure, Australian LNG export terminals, and U.S. Gulf Coast LNG export capacity are the structural beneficiaries of every month Hormuz remains operationally constrained. On the U.S.-Canada deal, the tariff reduction on Canadian vehicles from 25% to 15%, if confirmed, is a significant input for North American auto supply chain modeling. Combined with steel and aluminum relief, it partially reconstructs the integrated production economics that Trump's 2025 tariff wave disrupted. Private equity sponsors in automotive components and light manufacturing with Canadian-U.S. cross-border exposure should update discounted cash flow models before the deal text is published. The overarching framework: Trump is running a bifurcated economic world. Allies get deals. Adversaries get D-Day. For capital allocation, the operative question is not whether you have direct Iran exposure. It is whether your counterparties do. The bottom line: Trump's economic D-Day declaration is the most sweeping secondary sanctions threat since the reimposition of the JCPOA withdrawal measures in 2018, and it arrives with a military conflict already active and a Hormuz chokehold already constraining 20% of global oil and LNG supply. Institutions that wait for formal Treasury designations before adjusting Iran-adjacent exposure will be repricing under duress. The UAE's immediate compliance is the template. Gulf Cooperation Council financial sector re-rating, Chinese independent refining sector discount expansion, and Hormuz bypass infrastructure premium are the three trades this announcement sets in motion. Position accordingly before the Treasury Department publishes the specics.